The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Joan Jett, bad reputation.
Okay, well, that's, I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Okay.
But, I have a temporary theme song. It can only last a few more days, depending on how long the hurricane named after me lasts.
Oh, that's right. Hurricane Francine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So now this isn't really me either, but I thought this was kind of fun.
Rocked you like a hurricane. All right, see, there's your.
That, you know, girls got to have fun.
Yeah, you might as well. You might as well. Hey, did you see the debate last night? Did you watch that last night?
I would not watch. I had absolutely no desire to watch it.
Really?
This morning, I got up pretty early and was listening to Hugh, go on and on about it. And he was playing those same cuts that you were playing a little while ago.
Yeah, I played that. In fact, that one cut that had all the ABC moderator comments, that came from his. Producer put that together. It's just like, it's really astounding when you listen to it all back to back, isn't it?
It really is. Well, I'll tell you, this morning, after listening to him, I said, okay, I'm going to go find a video recording of the thing and watch it myself. So it opens up, the male moderator, his first question to Harris before I get to that, the first thing he did was when he's presenting her with the first question, he makes a comment about what she and President Trump were when they were elected 4 years ago. Did you catch that?
I didn't catch that. No, I did not.
That's right at the very beginning. Yeah, like around the 42nd mark or something like that. He refers to her and President Trump having been elected 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of a, I know, what are you going to do? But then when he asks her about the economy, and she starts going on about, well, I grew up in a middle-class home and blah, blah. All she does is, come up with this, all about her. It's all about her and what, how she relates to this because of her life. And who cares? I turned it off. That's as far as I got.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Ben. Anything else you wanted to add before?
Yeah. One more thing. I did catch just some little blips of, how all the far-left Democrat whack jobs on the media were just drooling and smiling and cackling and caring. I mean, they are so confident. They are so happy today.
Well, I'm hoping that more insightful voting is going to be the ruling. I don't know. I just don't know.
The fact
that the nation is not enraged that someone of Kamala's lack of experience really in this particular situation and never having got a vote for this position, just being installed, you would have thought in a more proper country that there would have been rage expressed at this so-called our democracy, that kind of thing.
I mean, I'm really blown away, and it's more about her being a black woman than anything else, and the fact that, she's far left, and that's all people are seeing and hearing.
Yeah, and I guess that's all that matters, maybe. For a lot of people. Appreciate the call there. Let me go to the next one. It's open phones. Whatever's on your mind, let's go. Could be the Trump debate. Could be something else. I don't know. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello, hello.
Is that me, Bill?
That is you. Good morning.
Hey, it's Matt.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. I didn't actually call to talk about the debate. The
good.
Only thing I'll say is...
I'm glad to hear that.
I want to talk about terrorism, being 9/11 and everything. All I'll say is I didn't watch it. You ever notice sometimes you go to a trailer and you get all excited about a movie and then you go watch the movie and you realize every good scene was in the trailer?
Yeah.
This is sort of the reverse of it. The only thing that matters, first of all, anybody who's in the middle and going back and forth did not watch the debate. I guarantee it. No undecided person is dialing in to the debate to watch this. All the debate is now, it's marketing for social media posts. That's all it's for. So people are going to determine how they felt about the debate solely based on what they see on social media. It's the only thing that's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter. So whatever, you know, bump, you know, the futures markets for, you know, betting markets, whatever, all of that stuff, it's temporary. I'm looking around stocks and I'm saying to myself, I told you I wouldn't talk about this, but, you know, and I'm looking
you told
around,
me you wouldn't so, talk about this and now you know, can't resist it like a moth to the flame.
I know I can't help it, but you know, it's interesting. First Solar, of course, solar company, and then Enphase, which makes, some, you know, background parts for solar are up. So Enphase is up like 3%. First Solar's up. Hang on here. First Solar's up 8.5%.
So the market is taking what happened at last night's debate as a sign that cracks in the Trump facade, so to speak, right? They're looking at this as Trump weakness and possibility of ever more subsidies being thrown at these kind of companies, right?
I think so, but I think part of it is just a short-term gamble. A lot of times before the Fed makes an interest rate decision, when that decision is truly in question, they're not sure if they're going to move or they're not sure if they're going 0.5% or 0.25%. You'll see a lot of speculation just before. And then as soon as the Fed says, all right, we're leaving rates unchanged, then you'll see the futures market for the stock indices rally or drop, and then they'll do the opposite, and then they'll do the opposite again. And after the machines have churned up some profits for the day, then it settles and then continues on its pattern of whatever's going on in a bigger view. But the instantaneous reactions on a lot of this stuff are more of just the computers churning up profits. Like, oh, looks like Kamala won. Turn the computers on for all the solar, and then they're
and so they buy. Offer. In other words, these are automated trades that you're talking about. AI control.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Algorithms don't just work on price movement; they work on news wording and other kinds of things. It's pretty sophisticated stuff, but. So the reason I want to talk about terrorism, obviously, it's the anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to use a Wheels Up Wednesday analogy here in my view on terrorism. My son FaceTimes me yesterday because he's having his car was overheating in Florida there. And so he's showing me the motor. We're looking for leaks. I know his coolant is gone almost or low, but we can't figure out where the leak is. There's a spouting that goes up to the insulation for the hood, and there's all these things. But from the outside, the car looks great. The interior looks great. Everything else looks great. America used to say, well, we're safe because we're separated from terrorism by two oceans.
That doesn't matter right? anymore, right?
Because here's what's happened. You can't let in. Look, that number isn't 10 million. That number is 20 million, and I will guarantee you there's at least 40 million illegal aliens living in this country, including visa overstays and everything else. Somewhere in that number, it only took 19 to attack us on 9/11. There are hundreds of thousands of people, and not just from the Middle East, but from other places, who hate everything about this country. They hate our free speech. They hate our Second Amendment. They hate everything about it. They want to take advantage of it, but they hate it. They're wandering around in the engine like an old heater hose or an old upper radiator hose.
And it's ready to burst at any moment, depending on what triggers them, right?
That's right. And I think people are forgetting this. I told you before, I was in the World Trade Center in 93, the first time it was bombed. And the reason I got so ticked off about 9/11 is they had all this time to do something about it, and they did nothing. There was no TSA. There was nothing. They literally did nothing.
Except the TSA. Nope. The TSA has never stopped a terrorist attack, though.
It never has. And the
thing is, though, there were so many things about this. I'm with Eric, though, and you may disagree with it, that if it was really about, if somehow we're going to stop terrorist attacks by making travel tough on little people, well, then you just get, you just charter planes, which has no TSA, right? And so... this was a false solution to the problem all right there from the beginning. The problem is that they don't watch terrorists. They don't watch terrorists.
They don't. And the open border is a perfect example that they don't watch terrorists. They don't watch. And look, all of this is on purpose.
Of course it is.
I mean, there are obviously politicians in this country that don't want to see this country succeed. They just don't. They don't like it. You mentioned it in regards to travel. the people with a lot of money are going to continue to fly on jets and have all their SUVs and everything else. But the rest of us are going to end up in that old Russian two-stroke. You know, that's the direction this ultimately goes. Look, I hate to say it, but when I talk to people locally here, you know, in Grants Pass, I'm continually disappointed about their lack of knowledge on any topic of any matter. Anything of importance at all, I'm just shocked by their responses. I've talked to people recently.
What's an example?
I know.
Give me an example. I want to hear this.
Okay, I'll give you an example. I had somebody reach out to me who's an investor that has known me for 25 years. And she commented because I had made a comment, and she commented back to me, basically wanted me to comment positive things about Kamala Harris. And that she said she's a Republican and that she's worried. She was 36 years old. She had cancer at the time. That was in 1991. And she thinks Trump is going to cancel the Affordable Care Act. So she wants me to make an argument to her group and to other people that I might know that we should all support Kamala Harris. And I wrote her a long email back, and I explained to her. I said, look, I basically said I would never vote for her, but I just mentioned all of the things that disqualify her as president. And she was disappointed. She didn't understand how I couldn't see her point, considering she considers herself a conservative. And I told her, I guess I would rather lose my health care than have my children lose their liberty. It matters more to me that I can travel freely, I can speak freely, I can defend myself. All of the liberties that are God-given and guaranteed through the Constitution, which, by the way, of course, is coming up on the 17th Constitution.
Yeah, I get that. You would prefer that. That's more valuable, but here's the deal. The cult of safetyism has that female voter who thinks of herself as a conservative, but really isn't. She's part of the cult of safetyism. She's more concerned about that.
That's right. Her final comment to me was, and by the way, there was another male who's a very brilliant guy. He's a retired postman. He's done very well financially. And he commented to me that he wants hope. Like, he wants someone who's inspirational and hopeful about America and all the trigger words, right, that are marketed on the left. And he's such a smart guy. I responded in a very smart way to him, just getting into the details. It didn't matter to him. So that's what I'm saying. He's someone who does read books. He does his own research. He's a smart guy. She, not so much. She didn't understand any of the things I brought up. She didn't understand that the Constitution was a negative legal document. She didn't understand any of those kinds of things. And when I
see what happens when you have decades of government education being about spoon feeding you Marxism slowly. You can't tell me that there's not an effect there, because essentially you have people in Southern Oregon who think they're conservatives, who think they are conservatives then, that are espousing the safetyism and Marxist principles, essentially, and they think of themselves as conservatives.
And it's shocking, and I guess they get there in the slow cook. You know, when I talk to people, I look at them, and I honestly, Bill, whenever I type the word liberty into anything that I'm writing, I always capitalize the word. I always, not the whole word, just L in liberty. And I do that, and some people have noticed that I do it. But the thing that bothers me the most is liberty appears to matter to almost no one. And I don't understand why. And I can only say, people who never lived in Cuba or never lived in Russia or the Soviet Union, who never lived in North Korea or Vietnam, if you've never lived under what communism always ends up being, you have no idea.
And if you haven't read the books, you don't know. The other aspect of this, though, if you're young right now, and you and I are not young men any longer, okay?
No.
But we once were. We lived in an arguably freer time. We remember that. And we may be some of the last generations that still remember some of that. That 36-year-old woman, she has no clue what it's like to really live under liberty, because she was living under the safetyism, Marxism tools that have been put in place for over the last few decades, even then.
Yeah, Well, she was 36 in 1991, so she's older than I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted
that.
Okay.
But Eric brought up, you mentioned he wrote an article that talked about what life was like before 9/11, before the security state, right?
Yeah.
That,
which, by the way, and the reason I'm so upset with this is that it's been weaponized not against the liberals, but against us. And yet the conservatives are out there going, the police and the security state and the soldiers, you know, realize they're the ones that are going to put you in the gulag, you idiots. You know, when are you going to figure that out? Huh?
You and I had a short discussion about this on the phone a few weeks back about how important it is for people our age to have a conversation with our kids and grandkids, if you have them, about what life was like in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and what it was like to, you know, go to the beach and not have a parking meter on every parking spot, to be able to have a bonfire on the beach with 15 of your close friends, and to, you know, all of the things that you and I enjoyed. I love when you get talking about your old cars, because I'm just going, oh my God, that happened to me.
Yeah.
That happened to me. That happened to me.
Is it a great country? Is it a great country when you can no longer get away with doing 100 miles an hour down I-5? Not that I'm advocating doing 100 miles an hour down I-5. Please understand, okay?
No, I hear you. But I just think it is incumbent upon us to not just say one or two words to our children or our grandchildren, you know, oh, everything was better back then. Because, you know, some people have, what do they call it, generational bias.
Yeah.
Right? It was always better when we were kids. There's no doubt in my mind it was better than I was a kid. And I grew up in Southern California for the first 30 years of my life. There is no way that California is better now than it was when I grew up there. There's no comparison.
Indeed. Matt, I appreciate the call. Good call. Giving you a call of the day. I'm going to give you a real American salute, all right? Where is my real American? Got to find my real American salute. There we go. Real American, liberty and more, okay? Thanks, Matt. 7:32. If you're on hold, I'll get right to you. May run a little bit late getting to Senator Linthicum, but we will get him on here in the next few minutes. This is the Bill Maher Show.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Deborah.
And this is our TimberTech story. We've built the TimberTech deck. The deck floats into the landscape and looks like real wood. We did it all ourselves.
It was fun to just kind of figure it out, and we're still married.
Still married. TimberTech lets us enjoy a space and an experience that we couldn't ever enjoy before.
Feels like a new lease on our house. It's like a really special place in New York now.
The Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Come in soon.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof, we're honoring veterans with a free custom metal roof. One deserving veteran will win this amazing gift absolutely free. Don't delay. Enter now. The contest ends November 5th. Winner will be chosen on Veterans Day. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., where quality and community come together. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for entries, details, and rules.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has been your go-to transmission experts, proudly serving our region for over 40 years. This family-owned, award-winning business has grown to become the largest specialized transmission and gear train shop from Portland to Sacramento. With 10 lifts at a custom remanufacturing facility, they're equipped to get you back on the road quickly. Dusty's Transmissions keeps inventory stocked, minimizing downtime and saving you money. Trust the experts at Dusty's, 250 North Front Street, Central Point.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Maher Show.
7:34. Chris, you think that song is a special song this morning, huh? I want to be sedated by the Ramones. Why is that, huh?
Yes. The debate was downright painful. It didn't sway me one way or another. It's not like I'm not going to vote for Trump because of that.
Yeah, me too.
But it's the people that we need to pull over, if they were watching, would have just seen an angry guy up there. Now, mind you, it was unfair.
But absolutely.
Life is unfair, and the sooner you get over that, the happier you'll be.
Yeah. What I was hoping for and praying for was that that Trump would find the ability to be disciplined and not grab at the debate bait that was thrown at him, like the thing about people walking out of his crowds. Nobody cares about that, but he does because it's his ego. right? You know, that sort of thing. Right. That doesn't matter. And say, oh, Don, don't go there. Don't go. I'm sure his people were doing the same thing, Chris, just going, no, stop it.
I actually went to a Republican, Jackson County Republican committee meeting last night and wasn't going to listen to anything. I had it all set up to pre-record so I could watch it all the big debate and all the commentary.
Yeah.
And just what I heard on the way home, I'm like, nope, not watching it. But I have to tell you about this meeting. So they have this wonderful speaker, and he talks about the economy, and he talks about public safety. But then he says something that I was appalled by, which was that what we need to do is we need to give a little, even though we're funding our schools to a very reasonable point for you know, our economy, a more than reasonable point, and we don't have oversight, and there's a lot of waste, and there's a lot of, if you just taught our kids what they're supposed to learn, you know, we'd have much better outcomes. But he said, you know, we need to be ready to offer up more money for the schools.
So are you trying to tell me, are they trying to tell me, whoever that speaker was, that $20,000 to $30,000 per year in taxpayer funding per student is not enough?
That is what they were, well, no, they, that is not what they were saying. It, no, what they were saying was even better.
Oh.
What they were saying was, is that we know it's enough, but we have to sweeten the pot to get these voters to turn out and come over to our side. And a couple people asked questions, and then I asked him, I said, so if what we're doing is pandering to voters by offering them free stuff, doesn't that make us Democrats? it was a good laugh line, but it was I saw people in the room agree with me. I saw people in the room like seize up, like, oh my word, you're saying something contrary.
Well, you committed a faux pas by telling the truth, is what you did, Chris. Okay.
I also realized that I hate meetings, and while I can contribute to the campaign in different ways, it's not going to be doing that. There was this meeting. There's a meeting on Thursday to teach people how to be volunteers. I don't know. It sounds like our public school system. It was, you know, let's do another meeting, and we're gonna do another meeting.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like meetings. I like doing.
Yeah, well, that's not what a public school system is for these days, from the sounds of it. Okay, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts there. So, in other words, give the unionized system even more, give them a break, so that way we get people on our side. It's like, you know, that kind of sounds like the standard Republican approach in Salem, especially in the House side of things, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just go ahead and help get Democrat bills passed, and then Democrats will like Republicans. Gosh, if only that was that easy. I appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing it. If you could email me who that speaker was, I'd love to know. Let me talk with Randy. Not Randy. It's going to be Shar. Hey, Shar, how are you doing? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Hey, just a quick note about the debate.
Uh-huh.
Any actress would do well with an hour and a half script if they had plenty enough time to study. So I think Donald should accept a Fox News debate. How's that sound?
I think that'd be fine. Was there an offer of a Fox News debate?
I heard yes when they were talking to Donald lately, and he didn't give an answer to that. But let's hope he does.
The one thing I'll say is that ABC, totally unfair, absolutely unfair. Should have known that was coming, though, and been prepped for it. But the CNN one was actually quite fair. And so it can be done. These debates can be done fairly. Thanks for the call. Let me go to Randy. Randy, you're here now. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill. So I see the primary problem that we're facing is we're living under so many lies going back in my lifetime. I was 14 when Kennedy was assassinated. And the thought that Lee Harvey Oswald single-handedly killed Kennedy is absurd if you read any of the reports. And then we go forward to the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City, and they blame that on Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, there were more lies based on that. Interesting, some of the missing footage that people in the alternative press have known about. about all the other bombs that were found in the building. Isn't that interesting?
Right. He reported all day that there were three bombs in the building. One detonated, two did not. And then by the evening news, it was the fertilizer bomb in the street. Then we go to 9/11, which today happens to be one of my daughter's birthday. So it's kind of personal to me. 19 hijackers did not hijack airplanes and fly them into the towers. That was done by the military. I've sent you the picture, very clear picture from CNN, of all places, of the gray military jet flying into Tower 2, of the Cessna P-210 flying into the Pentagon, the complete lack of wreckage at Shanksville.
And remember, though, you have to remember, not one, not two, but three buildings came down based on fire.
Four.
Oh, four?
Building five also fell concurrently with one of the two. I think it was the second tower that collapsed.
Have you noticed that in the 9/11 reports, they always like to step aside and tap dance around building seven?
Oh, of course. But anyway, what I'm getting at is, so then, you know, the Kennedy lie, the Oklahoma City lie, the 9/11 lie, and then we got the 2020 lie that Biden got 81 million votes, which is, we know that's not true. So we've got to stop believing the lies, or we're done. And they had to go to Afghanistan to reinstitute the opium trade because our government has been the biggest mule on the planet since Vietnam. There was a expose on 60 Minutes back in the mid-70s, and they had the top brass from the Air Force with a ledger detailing all of the raw opium that was being shipped from Vietnam to France to be to be refined and distributed all over the world. anyway, the black ops for our, you know, whatever you want to call the government behind the government, has been going on for decades. And so it's all about money. It's all about greed.
And it's not even trying to hide at the moment here, unfortunately, Randy.
Well, exactly. And so we keep living these lies, and everybody keeps believing it. And I hear people, including you, talk about 19 hijackers on 9/11, and that did not happen. That is completely false.
Randy, I appreciate your call. You know, it's one of those things that I'm just going off of what the official report is, okay?
Exactly, and that's where they got us, the official report, and everybody adheres to it when we need to push back and say, no, that's not what happened. We know what happened.
Well, this is that. You know what I will continue to insist on 9/11, Randy, is that I don't know what really happened that day, but neither do any of us really know what happened that day.
Well, when you look at the facts,
because I don't want to go down the various theories, because there are enough ways to disprove them. And I also think that a lot of the alternative theories have been brought up to just discredit anybody being willing to ask questions. But the one thing that I do believe in my heart, because I look at what happened with the government and its weaponization towards the people, is that it was with bad intentions right from the start. They had the Patriot Act there in the breach, ready to go, like instantaneously.
Yep.
And that's all I needed to know.
The ability to say, oh, we know who did this within hours of it happening. That's absurd.
Yes, and the amazing hijacker passport or ID sitting there in the rubble. It's like, yeah, sure. Well, okay.
And the destruction of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They took all of the steel and put it on barges and shipped it to China to be melted down before there was any forensics done. There was one forensic scientist, I think he was from Utah, and he went to New York, scooped up some of the dust, and he found the evidence that thermite was used to cut the beam.
I'm well familiar with it, okay? I appreciate the call, and I know you're making a lot of people uncomfortable, Randy, but hey. You know, I'm with you. The whole point being, though, is that essentially United States has been under some kind of an occupation for quite some time. And it's too uncomfortable to confront that. And I understand.
Reagan said government is the problem.
All right. Appreciate the call. 744.
It's gutter season. The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing's custom gutter division after the last downpour. We've been busy custom fabricating robust gutters on site in a choice of 30 colors guaranteed to survive the weight of falling water and space dust. So if your gutters need to be repaired or replaced, give Fontana a call before the wet weather sets in. We also install gutter covers, too, to keep those pesky leaves from clogging your downspouts. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Get ready for the season at Grange Co-op's Fall Roundup Sale, happening September 4th through the 15th. Save big with 20% off all footwear and 25% off durable work pants, perfect for those chilly fall days. Plus, when you stock up on Golden Fire pellets, you'll earn a gift card. The more you buy, the more you get. Don't miss these limited time offers at Grange Co-op, achieving more together. Learn more at GrangeCoop.com.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point is a family diner designed to please everyone in the family. Along with 13 burgers, there's 8 fresh sandwiches and 7 different melts, all served with fresh-cut fries. There's Carolina chicken smothered in mushrooms, onions, bacon, cheddar cheese, and honey mustard sauce. There's 7 seafood baskets, hickory smoked ribeyes, chicken fried chicken and steak, and so much more. You're invited to Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point. Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Jackson County Circuit Court Judge Benjamin Bloom issued a stay in one of several civil cases filed against former Asante nurse Danny Marie Schofield and Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center until a criminal case plays out. Schofield is facing charges she swapped out tap water for fentanyl in patients' IVs. She's criminally charged with 44 cases of assault. The civil suits claim she caused the deaths of many patients, and Asante was negligent in their oversight. The jobless rate in Oregon increased by 0.7% in the last year, translating to 16,000 more unemployed in the state compared to 2023. State economists remain downbeat about the employment landscape, describing the labor market in the state as soft. A new look at pollen season probably confirms what your sinuses already knew. The Rogue Valley is horrible for pollen. Data from nearly 200 U.S. cities determined where the allergy problems are the worst. Two Oregon cities, Medford and Eugene, both finished in the top 10 across the country. Bill Lennon, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with 3 Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the Rogue Valley's spray-on bedliner leader for 20 years running. We're excited to upgrade our spray-on bedliner product to MilSpec and join the fast-growing nationwide network of dealers. Our new MilSpec bedliners are backed by a nationwide lifetime warranty and feature the latest innovations in spray-on bedliner technology. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and let our seasoned team of professionals give your truck the protection it needs with a MilSpec spray-on bedliner.
One of each, Forte VIN 69674 MSRP 21645 Telluride VIN 551538 MSRP 42435 5958 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/30/24.
Now is the perfect time to trade in and take off in a new Kia at Kia Medford. Trade in your old vehicle and get cash on the spot. Then shop our huge selection of brand new Kias. Take off in a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS, just $139 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Telluride S all-wheel drive, only $229 a month lease. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss Forte's $139 a month or Telluride's $229 a month. Trade in and take off at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED.
749. We're going to keep the phones open here for a little bit. I moved Dennis Lithgow. We'll talk a bit about the debate with him 10 after 8 in the Secretary of State race here. John, you wanted to respond to Randy's talk about 9/11. I've had a lot of questions about it. I don't believe the government story in many ways, but you wanted to talk about the D.C. deal. Go ahead.
Well, the Pentagon there.
Yeah, the Pentagon.
Talked about Cessna hitting that. My son was on the cleanup team. He's a very reliable, very knowledgeable man. He said, I talked to him. I said, I don't like working around all those bodies. He said, Dad, there's no bodies. He said, there's hardly any airplane left. He said, the only thing I have seen, he said, it burned up everything. He said, the only thing I've seen that was from an airplane was the big hub right in the center of the turbine and one of the engines. He said, I saw that. He said, I saw part of a landing gear strut. And he said, it was a massive big hole. It went, the Pentagon's 5 layers deep, mm-hmm. and it went in 3 or 4. And it was not some Cessna. It was a real airplane.
Or something else. I have suspicions of possible drones. And the part that made me suspicious about this, John, and I can't tell you what happened. All right. Yeah. I'm not throwing a theory out there. But when they seized all of the area's surveillance video, and it didn't get released for years, and then they just saw just a little flash or something like that, if it really was supposedly the big plane that everyone had claimed, the actual passenger plane,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you have put this out? They seized the videotape from the gas stations across the street from the parking where it ended up getting hit, and it was kept away, and now that evidence is mysteriously missing. And when you see stuff like that going on, it's like, okay, when the evidence supports your claims, you put the evidence out. And the fact that they would not put the evidence out and then now have lost the evidence, count me a little suspicious about the real story.
That's
okay?
Government for you, yes. But I do know that, like I say, Rick saw parts from a big airliner. He was an Air Force firefighter. Uh-huh. He had worked up one other big deal in the Air Force, a big plane going down. He knows what hub
that. Yeah, I get that. Of course, that hub could also be part of, it could be part of drones. It could be parts of all sorts of other types of aircraft, though. I'm just saying the possibilities are there, all right? But I don't think it was a Cessna either, okay? Let me go to Ed. Hello, Ed. Good to have you on here. Since it's Conspiracy Theory Wednesday, it's a debate, day after debate, and 9/11 too, anniversary. What do you know?
I look at it, Bill, and it's an interesting thing because historically I went to New York within, oh, I think a week and a half, 2 weeks of that event and walked from the Grand Central all the way down to the Trade Center site. Went through a nightmare of understanding. I was in North Carolina when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call folks in New York to let them know what was happening, and they were able to exit. It took them 8 hours to walk off Manhattan Island. All of the ramifications I was knee deep in at the time, but looking at all of that, I had to go into a meeting with the FBI that briefed us on security measures for the project we were involved in. And the reality was, is the FBI expected, what they briefed us on is what they expected, that it was a major terrorist attack and what to look for with continued attack. But the continued attack seems to be coming from internally from the media organizations about disrupting and keeping this country on a pathway. And last night, this debate was a perfect example of that process, because the most important part of that debate was not the debate itself. It was the few minutes after on ABC when they started taking it apart. And the first thing that they went to was foundationally to me the indicator of everything, because the foundation of a debate is what? You talk and you debate the issues. All they could talk about is how they successfully, that Camilla successfully triggered Trump. She triggered him emotionally. She got him irritated. She did, and everything.
But that was not the main issue, was it?
Well, they're taking the focus off the issue, and they're making her look like a qualified candidate because she could trigger Trump. Well, okay, so she triggered him. What has she been involved in? She's been involved in nothing more than a continual degradation of what we have as a country, every aspect of it. And then she's, you know, actively sitting there trying to trigger a man who's the culmination of his term in office. You look at that, and it's like the other day you had a caller criticizing Reagan, okay? But the simple part of it was, what did Reagan inherit? What did Trump inherit? And then you look at the continued attacks to, literally control the slide into an agenda-driven situation.
The entire administrative state at this point, and that's really what we consider the deep state, and I would also say the media administrative state complex, you know, the people who aren't elected, who are seem to be wanting to keep us into this situation. It is an entire self-protecting entity at this point, right? It's kind of where you're going.
Well, it's a self-protective entity that has realized it has to defend itself or it's going to lose itself.
And I would dare say that what happened 9/11, what happened in Kennedy and everything else, it's all part of that same sort of situation in which what happened? I mean, were the intelligence agencies really weaponized against terrorism, or was everything, including the media, turned inward against the United States people, especially traditional Americans, Ed?
That's exactly right. And everything is a piece of that puzzle. And you can sit back and talk about conspiracy. You can sit, but let's look at the foundational fact. A debate is what? What's the definition of debate? Well, we debate the issues. We don't,
we don't debate the triggering. We don't debate the trigger.
That's right.
Okay. All right, Ed. I get it. All right. And thank you for making it. I'm short on time here. Okay. But I enjoyed that. Let me go to Deb. Deb, you've been holding online. Thank you for being patient. Hope I didn't trigger you. Welcome back. Hello, Deb. Deb.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, you're on. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Hey, regarding the debate, a couple questions I wish would have been asked by Trump was he could have just asked her, "Where's the children? Where are? Was it 350,000 missing children?" And then the other thing was, she claims that she was the last one in the room with Biden before they decided to pull out the way they did. And what does that say about her? I mean, if she co-signed that poor decision he made, then what the hell does that say about her?
Well, remember, the whole idea of her response was trying to redirect it as Trump's deal, right?
Yeah.
And of course, that's a falsehood because the deals that Trump made back at the time was not followed by them. They just wanted it out. They just wanted out. And it was very chaotic about the way they did this and irresponsible. And 13 service people ended up dying over this, along with billions. Now, I think Trump may have exaggerated the amount of gear left behind. But still,
yeah,
there was multiple billions. Well, say, let's even instead of 80 something, like I think is what he said, maybe it's 15 to 20, but it's still massive. And there's still the Taliban still parading around with our gear right now. And you would have thought
exactly.
that would have had more sway. But ABC doesn't care about that part. You know that. It's the wrong narrative. Wrong narrative.
Yeah, and so she was the last one in the room. Big deal. That's nothing to be proud of, especially when you knew and everyone else knew in the beginning that he probably had dementia. So that's really not something to be too proud of.
That part didn't even come up, did it?
I know.
Yeah. And what I find interesting here, and I'm going to ask you, Deb, a serious question. How many conservatives, family value conservatives, do you think are still going to go to Disneyland parks, continue to pay extra per month for Disney Plus, for the streaming services and various others? Do you think anything will change about this, or will they still continue to feed that company, that corporation?
Yeah, very, very few. I think very, very few people.
What, will quit or will stay with him?
We'll quit.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I appreciate your call.
Yep, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we appreciate you, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Shade Before 8, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Deborah.
And this is our TimberTech story. We built the TimberTech deck. The deck floats into the landscape and looks like real wood. We did it all ourselves.
It was fun to just kind of figure it out. And we're still married.
Still married. TimberTech lets us enjoy a space and an experience that we couldn't ever enjoy before.
Feels like a new lease on our house. It's like a really special place in New York now.
The Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Come in soon.
The purchase of another gutter manufacturing machine has spurred speculation at the offices of Fontana Roofing.
Yes, we'll custom fabricate them on site in your choice of 30 colors and includes heavy duty hangers, zinc plated screws, and complete downspouts. Great. Talk to you soon.
Another quote?
Yep. They're deciding between copper, steel, or aluminum. All will last decades. Even when they're occasionally plugged, they can handle the weight of water and leaves.
And space dust. Researchers have calculated about 5,200 metric tons of micrometeorites fall to Earth every year.
Huh. Ooh, what about bird poo? I'm guessing that's got to be in the millions of tons dropping from the sky every day into the gutters.
Fontana Roofing manufactures sturdy, custom gutter systems to withstand just about whatever lands on your roof. Call Fontana Roofing for your next set of gutters. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
By the way, we're also heard on translator K290AF 1059 in Rogue River. K290AF Rogue River, I should say, on 1059. And also K294AS Ashland, 1067 FM. Tracy's over in Washington State. Hey, Tracy. You were living near the Pentagon. I've had serious questions given how much the evidence was suppressed about what happened at the Pentagon, and now the evidence of all the pictures are gone. And so I find that interesting, but give me your take on what happened on 9/11 that day. Go ahead.
So, yes, I lived in Washington, D.C. area for many years, and I had a place on Route 7 south of there. And I know so many people who saw that plane go into the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
I was not there. I had a class in Maryland a couple hours earlier. I drove by the Pentagon that morning. My route back to the house was delayed a lot. I had to drive around the Beltway, frankly, and the acrid smoke sticks in my mind to this day. But I know so many people who saw that plane go in. And why is there so much destruction at the Pentagon? Well, that's obvious. The plane was pretty much fulley loaded with fuel, having just taken off from Dulles Airport. So when it came into the Pentagon at full force, it was loaded top to the gills with fuel, and you're going against this big, huge building with strong steel. You're going to have hardly anything left.
Why do you think that that was suppressed? In if they had all this video and all this stuff going on about it, that nothing was released about that. Nothing.
Well, remember, we're not talking today when we have ring cameras at all our doorsteps now. You know, we're still going back, what's it, 2001 or something?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was not all that data storage there. So
okay.
A lot of the cameras were still on analog film and computer memory was not
on. Yeah, but that doesn't, that doesn't explain the suppression of it. I'm just saying this, that when a story fits the government narrative, they release it. And the fact that the government wouldn't release it still leaves me a little suspicious. That's all.
Well, there's always, remember, you're dealing with this high security environment. The Pentagon, definitely very high security. They have things they want to protect, and they don't want the public to know about it. I think really what it is embarrassment. It's embarrassment all the way around, especially with the Twin Towers. They couldn't connect the dots, and so a lot of heads were going to roll.
But no heads rolled. Come on, Tracy, no heads rolled on 9/11. Yeah, everybody kept their job. In fact, we gave them more money and power.
Yeah, there you go. But I think it's by not giving out that information, heads didn't roll, or at least there were very few that we know of. But again, I hear those conspiracies about, Building 7 and Building 6 and all this.
Well, I know from now on that if we want to drop steel buildings, all we have to do is set them on fire and let them burn for a few hours. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it's huge amount of temperatures.
Uh-huh.
And when the building collapsed, one of those towers, it creates shock waves. If you've ever been in a serious explosion with shock waves, it's going to start to do things to buildings and other facades, and it's going to start that entire weakening process.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the corollary on that, okay? 770-5633. I really only have time for one or two more. Let me just grab a couple. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, it's Dave.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I am so proud of Trump. He did such a good job. He's so cool. He was cool as a cucumber. She was the one who was triggered.
Really?
She was triggered from the first time she opened her mouth. Oh, yeah. Scowling at him. He was just standing there waiting for her to get through with her scowling. And then he spoke like Trump always does, just cool as can be. I like it when he told her, why don't you go down and close the border right now? Why don't you go wake your boss up? Tell him you want to go down and close the border.
I thought that was actually a pretty good line. Well, he was right in the closing statement, which he said that everything that you've talked about doing, you could be doing right now. And that's a point well taken. Thanks for the call. I'll take the final call here for a while, and then we'll get back to some more a little bit later. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Bill, this is Francine. I'm double dipping.
Okay, Francine, wrap it quickly then, okay? Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, everybody that's talking, like the last caller, 9/11 was an inside job, and that was not a plane that hit the Pentagon. It was a missile. I actually saw a long, long time. I got into this really deeply because I was just waking up and getting political around 2000.
Yeah, because you see, now you're going to set things on fire, which is instead of chemtrails, we're going to get the missile versus the plane versus the Cessna call. Okay.
I'm telling you, I watched so many videos, and I actually saw footage from a gas station of what hit the Pentagon. And there's no way that all the pilots and everybody said that airliner could not have made the turn into the Pentagon with an amateur fresh pilot that didn't know how to fly an airliner.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to fly high speed at that low altitude. But I know that a lot of people will disagree with you on that. But thanks for making it, Francine. This is the Bill Myers Show. Secretary of State candidate Linthicum. We'll talk a bit about the debate and a bunch more coming up.